All right, if you have your Bibles, the book of Ephesians, chapter number 6. The book of Ephesians, chapter number 6. Appreciate the privilege to be back here at Parkside Baptist Church. And our church just got done with our youth conference, and I understand all the labor and all the sacrifice and what it costs to put on a conference like this. And we're glad that you're here. We appreciate you bringing your young people, and we're praying that God would do a mighty work in their lives these next few days. As Brother Wells said, I've known Brother Wells, I guess, for about 27 years, and I appreciate his standing for the Lord, not changing all of these years. What an encouragement he is personally to me, and also his family. What a wonderful family to see his sons serving with him here in the ministry. That is a very encouraging thing, and I love to see that. And appreciate Brother Mike Ray. I guess Brother Mike Ray has preached at our youth conference for about 8 or 9 years in a row. And to be honest with you, he's one of my favorite preachers. I love to hear him preach, and there's just no way I could ever be that funny. I don't even attempt to be that funny, okay? He's just a tremendous man of God. I love him. I've been alligator hunting with him. And he called me up and said, Brother Carr, how would you like to go alligator hunting? I said, I don't know. I thought, but you're a lot smaller than I am. If I get in a tide, I believe I could win the fight. So we go alligator hunting together, and Brother Mike Ray shoots the alligator first. Blood is gushing out of the head of that alligator. He runs over there. You remember that? He sticks his hand on that blood is coming out of this alligator and sticks it on his face. And he's doing this. And I'm looking at him like, what is he doing? And then he comes back and he starts putting it on me. And I'm going, man, what are you doing? That alligator could have AIDS or something. And then he takes this alligator. Now he's dead. The alligator is dead. And he gets in the water. And he has somebody video him wrestling this dead alligator. I thought, this guy's a nut. I'm telling you. So then he calls me up later. He says, Brother Carr, I'm serious. He says, I'm going bear hunting. You want to go? I said, absolutely not. Boy, he's a lot of fun to be with. I just love him in the Lord. What a tremendous message. You know, really, truthfully, if we close the conference tonight and that's all we heard, that would be enough. It really would. It would really be enough. What a tremendous message. Let's stand tonight, the book of Ephesians. Appreciate the nice room. Your church is a wonderful host. Appreciate Brother Crutcher, he and AJ coming picking me up and feeding me. Just appreciate the fan. How many of you sleep with a fan? Praise God. Okay. Man, appreciate that fan. I got your brochure. Looked at it. And to be honest with you, a lot of times the preachers normally don't ask you to preach messages that go with the theme. When we have our conference, I don't think I've ever asked a preacher to preach a message to go with our theme. I just kind of leave that to the Lord. And church here did not ask me to try to preach my message to fit the theme. But when I saw your theme, God really did just challenge my heart. And I thought, you know, what an appropriate theme for this day and age. I mean, really, honestly. You know, stand your ground. What a tremendous theme. And so as I prayed and sought the Lord, the message now, of course, as a pastor, I pastored our church for 30 years. I preached on the whole armor of God, I guess, several times. But, you know, never in a conference like this. This is not really a what you would call a conference message. And, you know, I don't like a lot of points when you preach in a conference like this. But to be honest with you, I just could not get away from the Lord dealing with my heart about this message tonight. And so look with me, if you would, in Ephesians chapter number 6. And I'm sure many of you, if not all of you, have heard messages on the whole armor of God. But look in verse number 10. The Bible says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darknesses of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Now, here's what I do know. That you and I will not stand in this day and age that we live in if we do not have the whole armor of God on. You know, I don't know how, like, I've been preaching 30 years. And Brother Ray, just to be honest with you, just, I guess it was just, I know y'all going to laugh at me and think, man, where did this guy really come from? It was just a few years ago, just studying and, you know, preaching, that it really dawned on me. And I don't know how many sermons I heard about the whole armor of God. I don't know how many I preached. But it really dawned on me, how do you put that on? You know, I would read that, I would preach that, and I'm glad nobody ever came up and said, now, will you really, how do you put on the whole armor of God? We know the Bible commands that. Would you agree with that?
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, well, how do you really do that? I would suppose if you can put it on, you can take it off. No, I'm not looking for a theological debate here, okay? I know when we get saved, we're saved forever, right? But he said to put on the whole armor of God. So if I asked you, how do you put it on? Think about that. If I would have asked you to come up here and say, now you tell us tonight, how do you put on the whole armor of God? How do you do that? Everybody still with me? All right. We got to get started here. Brother Ray said, I preach long and I'm going to prove him right if I don't start. Our Father, we sure do love you. Thank you for loving us. Lord, thank you tonight. Even if this message fails, I'm encouraged. I don't have to be a failure. And Lord, we just thank you for what we've heard and how we've been challenged. Lord, thank you for the theme. I don't know who came up with the theme. I don't know whose heart you impress about the theme. But Lord, to me, it's very appropriate in this day and age. And so, Father, we realize, Lord, without this whole armor of God on, Lord, we're not going to be able to stand. That's just the bottom line. And so, Father, tonight, just help us to look at this armor. Then, Lord, before we get finished tonight, to really practically understand, you know, how do we put this on? And how can we put this on every day? And Father, we love you. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for what you're going to do. Of course, in Jesus' name, we do pray and ask it all. Amen. All right, you may be seated. I appreciate your patience there. And so I'm sure that most of us have heard about the whole armor of God. Let's just look at it very quickly. The Bible says here in Ephesians chapter number 6, and look with me at verse number 14. The Bible says, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. So, first piece that he tells us that we need to put on here, he says to have your loins girt about with truth. So, I believe just very simply, number one, you got to tell the truth. Have your loins girt about with truth. So, he tells us to have the whole armor of God. Number one, you have to be truthful. You have to be truthful. You know, somebody said this, that the average person lies between 6 and 10 times a day. Now, the average preacher lies between 10 and 15 times per sermon. Are y'all still with me? You got to be very careful when you preach because your illustrations can get away from you. Can I get a witness? So, number one, you have to be truthful. Have your loins girt about with truth. Let me say, young people, number one, you need to be truthful with your parents. You need to be truthful with your parents. I can remember when I was about 10 years old, my mother had a rule. She said, the kitchen was made to eat in. That was my mother's rule. And she said, do not eat in the living room. And so, Mom and Dad went to bed, and when she went to bed, we snuck in there in the kitchen and got us some hot chocolate and got us some cookies, And we went in there, and me and my sister, we was sitting on the couch and in the living room, and we was drinking our hot chocolate and eating our cookies, and I spilt the hot chocolate on the couch. And I'm about 10 years old, and I tried to clean it up the very best I could. And I remember going, this is between us. Are y'all still with me? And I can remember that morning. I don't know what got into my mom, but I had never got a spanking like this in my whole life. I can remember that morning waking up. My mom was going, spow, 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 spow. I mean, I was in the bed. I was, man, what is, I mean, how would you like to be woke up getting a whoop? And I was jumping around in that bed. I was thinking, Mom, what in the world has happened to you? She said, I told you, don't be eating in that kitchen. No, she said, I told you, don't be eating in that living room. I'm thinking, who told her? Are y'all still with me? You know, it'd have been a lot easier if I'd have just been truthful with my mom and went in there and knocked on the door. Everybody still with me? And said, Mom, listen, I know you told us don't eat in the living room, and I did, and I spilled some hot chocolate in there. It would have saved me some heartache. Are y'all still with me? Be truthful with your pastor. Be truthful with your pastor. Hey, may I say, be truthful with yourself. The Bible says we can deceive our own self. Hey, be truthful with God. Go to the book of Acts, chapter number 5. Very quickly, the book of Acts, chapter number 5. Be truthful with God. Have your loins girt about with truth. Look at the book of Acts. You know the story. May I say quickly tonight, we need to be truthful in our spiritual life. You know, we can all pretend to be something that we're really not. You know, we need to be truthful in our private life. We need to be truthful in our public life. Look here at the book of Acts, chapter number 5. You know the story, Ananias and Sapphira. The Bible says, but a certain man named Ananias with Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession and kept back part of the price. His wife also being privy to it and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why had Satan filled thine heart to what? To lie to the Holy Ghost. So I have my soldier. Y'all see that? Have your loins girt about with truth. So number one, we need to be what? We need to be truthful. You know, all this week, there's going to be preaching. There's going to be invitations given. And, you know, you can pretend, you know, I'm right with God. Hey, I'm saved. I'm doing this and I'm doing that. But, you know, tonight we just need to start with being truthful. Let us be truthful with ourselves. Where am I really with God? Not where does my mom and dad think I'm at. Not where does the preacher think I'm at. Not where does the youth pastor think I'm at. Not where does Brother Carr, Brother Ray think I'm at. But let us be truthful tonight. Where are we really in our spiritual life? Amen. Have your loins girt about with truth. Number two, he said, put on the breastplate of righteousness. Put on the breastplate of righteousness. I want to show you something. Go to 2 Peter chapter number 2. I believe it is 2 Peter chapter number 2. So number one, we need to be truthful. Number two, we need to put on the breastplate of righteousness. Look at 2 Peter chapter number 2. And look at verse 7. And delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked, for that righteous man dwelling among them. Now watch this. The Bible just called Lot a righteous man. Now let me tell you what I know about Lot. Number one, I know Lot got drunk. I know number two that Lot had incest with his own two daughters and they became with child from their own father. Are y'all still with me? So I'm reading the Bible and I come to 2 Peter chapter 2 and it calls Lot a righteous man. And I'm going, now wait a minute, time out. How could Lot be a righteous man? He was anything but righteous. Because there's two types of righteousness. There's what we call imputed righteousness. The Bible says, for there is none righteous, no, not one. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You do not go to heaven on your righteousness. You go to heaven on Jesus' righteousness. So when I got saved 37 years ago when I was 16 years old in a revival meeting, when I received Jesus Christ as my Savior, my friend, what God did, He took the righteousness of Jesus Christ and He put it on my account, and my sins were placed on Jesus. I say, what a swamp. Are you still with me tonight? So when the Bible talks about Lot being a righteous man, that's not talking about he lived a righteous life. He did not live a righteous life, but he was righteous as far as his standing with God. We call that justification. Are you still with me? So when the Bible says to put on the breastplate of righteousness, it's not talking about imputed righteousness there. Ephesians chapter 6, that is for the child of God. That breastplate of righteousness is living the right kind of life. That is living a righteous life. Living the right kind of life? That means to flee fornication. Everybody still with me? 1 Corinthians chapter 7, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. And so we believe that a young person, a young boy and a young girl should not be holding hands, should not be kissing or hugging. Are y'all still with me tonight? What? Because what it leads to, the Bible says it's good for a man not to touch a woman until you get married. Hey, we need to flee alcohol. Are you with me tonight? Proverbs chapter 3. The Bible says don't even look at it. We need to deal with the worldly music that is in our lives. Hey, Joseph did the right thing. Put on the breastplate of righteousness. Hey, David, my friend, going out there standing before Goliath. David did the right thing. Hey, Daniel did the right thing. The three who be children did the right thing. And I'm simply saying, we need to put on that breastplate of righteousness. We need to do the right thing. Live the right kind of life. That's pretty simple. And then number three, the Bible says to have your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel. Now look at the verse very quickly in Ephesians chapter number 6. Watch it. It says, and your feet shod. That simply means to be covered. And the word preparation, it simply means to be ready. And so God wants you and I to be ready to give the gospel to others. I fear for so long. Let me see. Could you fellas, y'all mind helping me? Okay. Would you take your shoes off? You leave your shoes on. Okay. Would y'all come up here? Let's just put it right here. Maybe everybody can see, okay? You know, I think I understand the crowd that I'm preaching to. I think I understand the crowd that I'm preaching to. Most of you probably come from soul-winning churches, right? Well, maybe I'm wrong. Let's try it out. I think most of you come from soul winning churches. You know, they emphasize soul winning a lot. I was at an ordination, and a young man was gotten up in Kentucky there, and I was speaking at it, and he worked for me for 5 years, and he was talking about at the different churches he had been at and what he learned. And then when he came to my church, he said, I learned soul winning, soul winning, soul winning, soul winning. I thought, well, at least you got something. Amen. But I fear that sometimes our young people really don't get it, and even our adults, because you know we emphasize soul winning, and we are to emphasize soul winning. But listen carefully, we do not, as pastors, Brother Wells, Brother Ray, myself, other pastors that are here, youth pastors, we do not emphasize soul winning to try to get you involved to build our church. Because now if Brother Wells has got a different philosophy, he's right and I'm wrong. But I do not go soul winning to build my church. Boy, it's quiet. That's okay. I can handle that. You're not going to scare me. I do not tithe to get wealthy. I tithe to be obedient to God, and God blesses my obedience. Now, I do believe that you reap what you sow, and you know, you can't have a harvest if you don't sow the seed. And I believe the soul winning churches do grow and God does add to them. But I really fear, preacher, tonight that we really miss this when it comes to soul winning. That soul winning is not us trying to use you to build our church, but soul winning is to protect you. It is to help you. It is a piece of the whole armor of God. All across America, soul winning is dying in our churches. And we cannot get people to go. And I'm talking about good churches. They'll have 10 to 15 to 20 people to show up for soul winning. Now, we had an off night. Well, not really off. Probably about average. We had about 82 out Thursday night soul winning. And I know that's not a record, okay? You know, we've had 122 out on Thursday night soul winning. And again, I know that's not a record. But you start asking churches that question, and most preachers are going to change the subject. But I think some of it is people don't understand when we said, you know, have your loins girt about with truth? The breastplate of righteousness? Have your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel? See, that Roman soldier, those shoes were very important. If you're in a hand-to-hand combat and you make one slip, that could be your life. So your shoes were very, very important. And so, if you do not mind, is your parents here? Do y'all have insurance? Is there urgent care? Because if you don't mind, I'd just like for you to just walk and kind of just stump on that glass a little bit. Would you mind doing that? I don't need one that's retarded. I need somebody that's not. I'm just kidding. I would never let you step on that, okay? Because it would cut your feet up, right? But you just stand right here, okay? Don't step on that. Your mom and dad have never talked to me. Now, why don't you come? Why don't you step on that? Go ahead. See that? It's not hurting us, is it? Our shoes are protecting us. Do you know the soul winner can endure things that others don't endure? You know the people that normally stick and stay in my church are those that get involved in soul winning. And there's a big flaw. So, you know, we push, but they think that what we're trying to do is to get them involved to build our church. But that's not what we're doing. We're trying to get you to get your gospel shoes on tonight to help you, to protect you. Thank you, fellas. Give them a hand. They did a good job. So that's why, young people, in your youth department, when your youth pastor is trying to get you involved in soul winning, it's not to build the youth department, but that you may have some protection. Are y'all still living tonight? So have your loins girt about with truth. He said to put on the breastplate of righteousness. He said the feet shod with the preparation of the gospel. And then he said above all, taking the shield of faith. You know, the Bible simply says this: whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. The Bible says whatsoever is not of faith is sin. The Bible says that without faith, it is impossible to please God. When you read the book of Hebrews chapter 11, it says by faith and by faith and by faith and by faith and by faith. Hey, my friend, we got to get behind the shield of faith. We got to believe God. I'll give you this real quickly. Number one, hey, we got to have faith in God's power. We got to have faith in God's plan. I was out sowing and thirsting. One of my men asked me this question. He is 75 years old. He said, "Preacher, do you really believe Romans 8:28? And he wasn't joking. And then I said this. I said, "I know what you mean. You know I believe the Bible. But I understand your question. Your question to me is, do all things really work together for the good to them that love God? Do I really have faith in God's plan?" A young lady comes to my office. She says, "Preacher, I've been raped." How do you give her Romans 8:28? When a young girl comes And now she's an adult, and nearly every time I get on the subject when I preach and talk about being molested as a child, she begins to weep, and she can't hardly stand to hear it. How do you give her Romans 8:28? Are you still with me? But my friend, if being raped, being molested as a child, if God can take horrible things and turn them out for our good. Those things are not good. Somebody help me. Those things are not good, and God is not for those things. But I'm simply saying, we got a God that's so big, and we got a God that's so wise, that He can take the most horrible things that have come into our life, and He can turn around and spit it in the devil's face, and He can turn it out for our good. I got a lady in my church who was molested by her father. Her father got sick, and in the dying days of her father, she brought her father into her home and helped take care of her father. And I said to myself, how can she do that? She's got such a sweet spirit. One of the best ladies in my church. Young people, listen to me. There's things that's going to come in your life, and there's things that's going to happen that's going to make absolutely no sense. I do not always agree with God. I do not always like everything the Bible says. Now, it's quiet, but I'm okay. I can handle it. I don't always like... I wish it was not in the Bible. In hell, he lifted up his eyes. I get no joy from knowing somebody's in hell burning for eternity. I don't always agree with everything that God says. I may not even like what God says, but what God says, He's always right. And my friend, what God does in my life, He's always right. And when it doesn't make any sense to me, I get behind the shield of faith and I trust God that He really loves me. See, you got to settle this in your heart. You have to settle that God loves you. You say, well, if God loves me, and this is what the world says, then why did this happen? And why did that happen? And why was my daddy drunk? Why did I never have my dream fulfilled? And I thought one day I'll go preach at a conference like this, and my dad would be sitting on the pew, and I'd say, it's good to have my dad with me. And dad, would you stand? I never saw that happen. Are you listening to me? And the devil comes, whispers in my ear and says, how about your God now? Where's your God at now? And you know what I do? I bring him back to the cross. And God doesn't have to let everything turn out for me every day. And God doesn't have to do good things for me every day. My friend, he's already proved that he loved me 2,000 years ago. My friend, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. When Jesus went to the cross, he was saying, I love you. No, everything in life doesn't make sense. No, everything in life in itself is not good. But I got this settled. I can trust him. I can trust his power. I can trust his plan. When Joseph was in the pit, and if he'd went over to the Joseph and said, hey, boy, listen, this is all for your good. Excuse me? My brothers, it's dark in here, Brother Carr. You don't understand. And as they begin to haul him off in a wagon, and we know, according to the book of Psalms, that Joseph's was injured. He was hurt according to the Bible, physically. The Bible says his feet were shackled and something happened to Joseph. I don't know what it was, but according to the book of Psalms, Joseph was injured. And I can say, Joseph, this is for your good. It's all going to work out okay. And then Joseph goes down and then Potiphar's wife lies on him and he winds up in prison. And I say, Joseph, don't sweat it, son. This is going to turn out for your good. God knows what he's doing. He will look at me and say, Brother Carr, man, you shut your mouth. Said, just hang in there, Joseph. Everybody still with me? And we know getting toward the end of Joseph's life, and his brothers come in there, and his brothers say, you know, we're sorry. We know you're going to get even with us. And Joseph said, it's okay. God meant this for my good. Everybody still living tonight? You say, I don't get the connection. You got to get behind the shield of faith. When life doesn't make sense, you have to trust Him. You have to trust Him. You have to trust God. Trust His plan. Trust His power. My friend, trust His provision. God makes no mistakes. And then the helmet of salvation. He said, put on the helmet of salvation. Now, this is not getting saved. This is to the Christian. Everybody still with me? This is to the Christian. This means have the assurance of your salvation. You'll never do anything great for God with a hope-so salvation. You'll never do anything great for God. I think I'm saved. I hope I'm saved. I could be saved. You got to know. You got to know that you know that if you died tonight, that you would go to heaven. As long as there's that nagging doubt there, you'll never be what God wants you to be. See, I don't say if somebody doubts, they're lost. Some preachers preach it that way. I don't preach it that way because John the Baptist said, art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? If John the Baptist, the one who said, behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world, the one who took his hands and baptized Jesus himself, had a doubt for a little bit there. I wonder if the devil couldn't try to get me and you to doubt. But you can't live in doubt. You can't stay in doubt. You got to get that settled. You still living tonight? You got to have that helmet. That's why I didn't say the heart. It said the helmet. Why? Because after you get saved, the devil attacks your mind. Amen. The devil attack your mind. So you got to have that assurance of your salvation. And then he said, I love this, taking the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. You come to a conference like this, you hear it over and over and over, but don't raise your hand. Let's just me and you talk, okay? Just me and you. Right here, fellas, right here on this row. Don't blink an eye. Don't raise your hand. Nod your head. Did you read your Bible this morning? Amen. Did you meditate on a verse? Memorizing any verses? Did you do that yesterday? The day before? The day before that, the day before that, and the day before that, and the day before that. Are y'all still with me? I know this is, Brother Ray told me don't preach a heavy sermon. I know this is coming across heavy, and I don't want it to. But we come to a conference like this, and the reason it crashes, a lot of us crash after a few weeks because we really don't take the sword of the Spirit. Young people, you got to learn to get in that book every day. Amen. I was preaching at Ellisville at camp. And I was preaching along these lines, challenging young people, study the Word of God, read the Word of God, meditate on the Word of God, fall in love with the Word of God, learn how to use the Word of God. And after the message, two preachers came up. In their own way, they was mocking my message, and they were kind of saying, I really don't do that. One of them's divorced now. Are you listening to me? Young people, we've got to learn to get. We do not have victory because we're preachers. See, I can preach this. I don't get a pass because I'm by the car. The devil ain't no more afraid of me than he is a man on the moon. It's Christ in me. Without Him, I can do nothing. He that thinketh standeth, take heed, lest he fall. You still with me? Young people, you better take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And then he says here, praying always. Now I know technically we say that the praying is not a part of the armor, and technically it's not. But boy, we better learn how to pray and keep that communication between us and God. So there's the message. We're all finished. Man, I forgot a piece of this sermon. Do you know the piece I left out? There's a part of this sermon that I started off that I was going to tell you something. Anybody remember? Huh? I was going to tell you a secret. The whole sermon was built on this. How to put it out!
We've been waiting. Oh, Brother Ray's over there. His eyes are like saucers. He cannot wait for me to tell him. These preachers up here waiting. Everybody's thinking, Brother Carl's got the next new thing. Everybody said, oh, here's something that we ain't never heard before. Sorry, wrong. But I'm going to tell you how to put it on. This is the truth. Now, y'all going to think, see, I didn't go to Bible college, and that's now you know my problem, okay? So they taught this stuff in Bible college, but I wasn't there to hear it. And so these preachers get up and preach, you know, have your loins girt about with truth. Put on the breastplate of righteousness. Have your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel. You know, put on the helmet of salvation. Get behind the shield of faith. Take the sword of the Spirit. I'd hear all that, preach all of that. I'd be on my way home from church. How do you put it on? Somebody's preaching, I want to raise my hand. Please tell me how to put it on! But nobody would tell me. So the Lord had to tell me. So this is how you do it. Boy, this is deep. When I saw this, I'm being honest. When I saw it, I wear two pair of socks. I didn't know if y'all knew that. Always wear two pair of socks. You just never know, you know. I believe in separation from the world, buddy. Everybody still with me? All right, preachers. Y'all here now. You youth pastors. How do you put it on? Right here, to the end. You come here, buddy. What's your name? Your name. Joseph? What a... Woo! Come on over here. Stand around this way. We want you to have your loins girt about with truth. You know how to put that on? Don't not bless his heart. Who's your youth pastor? You should have done told you this. You are fired. Who's your pastor? He is fired. Can y'all vote me in? I'll work for $1,600 a week. Okay, here, you put on your loins girt about with truth. Here it is. You tell the truth. You tell the truth. Give me my armor real quick. Okay? Take it all off. Can you take it all off? Okay. When you tell the truth, you have your loins girt about with truth. Now, when you tell a lie, take it off. Okay. That's how you put it on. When you do right, give me my loins, give me my breastplate. You do right, it's on. You don't do right, it's off. Give me those two pieces. You tell the truth, you do right, and then you have your feet. Can I have somebody up there that's with me? Open the Bible. It's all right here. Breastplate. He just quit. You need to hire somebody else. Lord's been about with truth. Breastplate. Okay. Give me my shoes. Okay. You're not witnessing. I was struggling. Two people sitting beside me here on the way here. I'm no big super soul winner. I'm so scared. And it took me 30 minutes to get the nerve up to give them a track. Are you listening to me? But when God gives you opportunity to witness and you don't witness, your feet are not protected. You follow me? When you don't trust God, give me the shield. You don't have that. See what I'm saying? You doubt your salvation, you don't have the helmet on, you're not sure. If you're not in the Bible, you don't have your sword. See what I'm saying? Now give me the whole armor, all of it. That's the only way you're going to stand. If you leave one piece off, that's exactly where the devil's going to get you. That's why the devil tries to get you to be dishonest with your parents, with yourself. Your loins not be girt about with truth. That's why he tries to get you to do the wrong thing, and you're not going to have that breastplate on. That's why he tries to get you to not to trust God. You won't be behind that shield. You see how simple that is? I mean, I think I knew that, but when the light finally came on, I'm telling you, it was a changer for my life. For after 20-something years teaching on this, I never really got it. You got to put the whole armor on every day. Go back to Ephesians. Thank you, buddy. You did good. Go to Ephesians chapter 6. Now, we're done. Kind of. Man, I hate when I prove preachers right. I preach forever. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 6. Watch this. Don't miss it. Everybody still with me? Say amen.
Amen.
Watch this. Ephesians chapter 6. Look at it. Verse number 11. Put on the whole armor of God. That is to the saved. That's to the Christian. That you may be able to stand. When I saw your theme, stand your ground. Instantly, my heart and mind, the Lord just, they'll never stand without the armor on. Young people, you've got to get this. You've got to get it. If I confused you, if you get with your youth pastor, go to your pastor, they can break it down simpler. But you've got to get that you understand how to put it on and how to keep it on. Let me tell you this one story. Our house burnt down. I think I might have told this story here. It was in the news. It was Sunday night news. Our house burnt down Easter morning. 10 o'clock news, Sunday night. My insurance agent, saw our house on the news. Preacher's house burns down Easter. I don't remember exactly how they put it. But he saw it. And he said to his wife, I know that's one of my clients. So we had to spend the night at my mom's house that night. I had nowhere to stay. And Monday morning, we went to the insurance company to let them know that our house had burnt down. He said, I've already been out there. He said, I saw it on the news last night. And he said, it's a total loss. We said, y'all need to come in. I'll give you some money immediately to go buy some clothes and some things and to rent a house. And just really good. He said, but I need to ask some questions. You know, how did it get started? You know, how did it start? And my wife, it's a long story, but basically my wife left a pot on the stove Sunday morning, got in a hurry to get to church, and just it burnt down. And he asked a lot of technical questions. And one of the questions he kind of asked was, you know, is there anything that maybe I need to be aware of that happened? You know, just he kind of asked a lot of different questions. And, you know, they're looking for fraud and stuff like that. Well, I knew my wife had said about a month earlier that the stove, she thought it had a short. That she said, you know, I noticed I put something on the stove. I hadn't turned it on. I come and it's on. She said, honey, I think there's something wrong with the stove. I think it may have a short. It's like sometimes that burner, it's electric stove. Sometimes it'll come on. And sometimes it won't come on. So when he asked me that question, instantly I thought about the stove and how it was acting. And boy, you're not going to believe what I'm fixing to tell you. But in my heart, I got real nervous. And I thought, if I tell him that stove maybe had a short, they're not going to cover my house. And my heart was pounding. You're thinking of maybe $65,000, $70,000. So I kind of just blow it off. I get in my car, and me and my wife's going down the road. And I said, babe, she looked at me. I said, I wasn't honest with that guy. I'm a preacher. I'm a pastor. I said, he asked some very blank questions. And you told me that stove was acting funny, and it might have had a short, and I didn't tell him that, and I should have told him that. I said, I'm going back and telling him. Are y'all with me? Have your loins girt about with truth. Son, the devil jumped on me and said, you making an idiot out of yourself? You know, you're going to go back. They're going to lock you up. They're going to put you in jail for fraud. He's going to really think you're, you know. And it just got worse. But I said, I got to go back. I've got to make this right. I don't care if they put me in jail or what it costs. I got to make sure he understands. I go back in. He said, yeah. He said, hey, preacher, what can I do for you? And I said, look, you asked me some questions. And, you know, there was something I should have told you that I didn't tell you. And I want to make sure I tell you this. He said, well, what was it? I said, my wife told me about a month ago that stove seemed to be acting funny and it might have had a short in it. And I wanted you to know that. And I should have told you that before. He said, oh, don't worry about it. That's fine. Are y'all with me? I just wonder if I wouldn't have made that right, would I be here tonight? That would have opened up that crack. That would have took that piece of armor off. See, this is how it starts. You know, we tell a little lie here, we tell a little lie there, and then we do a little wrong here, we do a little wrong there, and we don't witness here, we don't witness there, we don't trust God here, we don't trust God, and all of a sudden we're trying to fight this spiritual battle without any armor on, and the devil's smoking us. He's taking us out one by one. Stand. But you cannot stand without the whole armor on. So what piece are you missing tonight? Or what pieces are you missing? You won't be here 10 years from now, 30 years from now, if you don't keep that armor on. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. I want to ask a couple questions. Question number one. How many tonight can say, preacher, I have the assurance of my salvation? I know if I die tonight, I would go to heaven. There's not any question about it. I know I've been saved. I've been born again. And if I die tonight, I know I'd go to heaven. If that's true, could you raise your hand high? Would you do that? God bless you. Thank you so much. Our heads are bowed. Our eyes are closed. You say, preacher, I really don't like that question. That question makes me uncomfortable. It makes me nervous. You hear tonight, you say, preacher, I think I'm saved. I believe I'm saved. I hope I'm saved. But I'm just not really sure. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to come to you. I'd just like to pray for you. Is there anybody like that? Would you slip that hand up just very quietly? Preacher, I'm just not sure. If I die tonight, I go, God bless you. God bless you. Yes, God bless you. God bless you. Yes, anybody else? Don't endure the whole week. You can enjoy the whole week. Let's get this settled tonight. Anybody else tonight? Preacher, I'm just not sure. In the balcony, God bless you. I see that hand. I see that adult hand. God bless you. Anybody else tonight? Anybody else? Anybody else? Preacher, I'm just not sure. Just not sure. I'm not here to make you doubt. You're just not sure. Anybody else? Just real quickly. Anybody else? Just real quickly. I wonder tonight. Now listen, God bless you. I wonder tonight. We're going to give an invitation. I'm sure my brother Wells, the preacher, have it here in a minute. He'll conduct an invitation as they're used to how to conduct the invitation. But I wonder tonight how many would say, preacher, I know of a piece or two pieces or three pieces of the armor that has been missing in my life. And God has spoken to my heart tonight. Would you raise your hand? Come on. Come on now. Look at that. Hands all over tonight. Let us put on the whole armor of God. Be truthful. Do right. Be ready to witness. Behind the shield of faith. Trust God, even though things don't make sense sometimes. Believe God and trust Him. That helmet of salvation. We're going to give an invitation. You raise your hand, you're not for sure. You got that doubt. We're going to want you to come tonight and let somebody help you. Let somebody talk with you. Get it settled. Christian, many of you raised your hand. Many of you admit it. You got one or two or more pieces of the armor. You're not going to be able to stand without the armor. The title of the sermon tonight was The Key to Standing. The key to standing is to have on the whole armor of God. Father, we love you.